helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast with your host, Bill Reichart, National Director of CMDA Campus Ministries.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichart, National Director of Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And my guest today is in studio, Dr. Peter Saunders, CEO of ICMDA. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, Peter, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, where you're from, what you currently do with ICMDA.
Well, I grew up in New Zealand, Christian family, came to the Lord in my teens. And trained in medicine, specialized in general surgery, did an Australasian fellowship, married my best friend's sister. She was a pediatrician. And we went and served in Kenya with two small kids and then on to the UK, spent a couple of years at a missionary training college. We thought we were going back to Africa. God had other plans, as he so often does. He called me out of clinical medicine to working with the Christian Medical Fellowship, which is the CMDA of the UK.
Okay.
And I did that for 27 years with eight as head of student ministries, 19 as CEO. And then 4.5 years ago, I moved to the ICMDA where I am now. That's the International Christian Medical and Dental Association. So still living in the UK. We've got three grown-up kids. And loving it.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about ICMDA. What's the mission, vision, the scope of that work and ministry?
ICMDA was founded in 1963 with six national movements, including CMDA US, that came together. And our vision is a Christian witness through doctors and dentists in every community, in every nation. In other words, that's our dream. That's what we want to see. So it's really linked to the Great Commission, Acts 1:8, Matthew 28.
Yeah.
And we believe that the gospel will be preached in all nations and then the end will come. So that's what's driving us. Yeah. Our mission is to start and to strengthen national associations of Christian doctors and dentists, or as you'd say here, physicians and dentists.
Yes.
So in order to do that, if they don't exist in a country, we seek to start them off. We look for individuals and work with those. And if they do exist, then we seek to strengthen them, make them stronger.
Sure.
And so that really boils down to the mentoring, training, and developing of Christian leaders. So that's very much our focus, is particularly young leaders looking for people who God has called into medicine and helping them to grow into maturity in every area of their lives, whether it's professional or family or church service or in ministry. And so we're organized around the world. We're growing quite rapidly. We have 107 national associations now.
Wow.
So we've added 23 in the last 5 years.
What are some of the...
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
And probably about 60,000 Christian doctors, dentists, and students around the world altogether, organized in 14 regions.
Some of the countries that you just added recently, Cuba, right? Name a couple.
Yeah. So in Latin America, Cuba, the Dominican Republic, and Chile all joined this year. So they're welcomed at the World Congress because they joined over the last 5 years. And those are amazing stories. the Cuban one, there were 14 different Christian medical groups in Cuba.
14?
14.
Wow.
And we got them all together in one room one night. We said, you might like to think about uniting. They said, we don't want to think about it. We should just do it. They voted that night to unite. They elected a president. They formed a national movement. The Dominican Republic one started with one doctor who went to the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, to train.
Yeah.
She met a Christian doctor there, learned about ICMDA, came back with a vision, invited two of our field workers over. They did a week-long tour meeting doctors and dentists all around the country. And at the end of that week, they formed a national movement with 60 health professionals. So you could tell that kind of story about everyone. We had five new groups join from Francophone Africa, French-speaking Africa. We had four groups from the former Soviet Union in that 23, which have just joined as well. One from the Pacific, two from Southeast Asia, a couple in Europe. And so the Lord is working all around the world to unite and bring together Christian doctors and dentists, give them a vision for setting up a CMDA and then going for it. And we're there to help them. So it's everything from CMDA US, which has 14,000 members and is a huge group. That would be the biggest within the movement. And then some of the groups are quite small, just a few dozen okay. people in resource-poor countries.
Well, one of the things that you're doing is, as a ICMDA organization, is helping to train and equip. What are some of the things that you are offering for your members within ICMDA throughout the world?
Well, the Lord has led us through COVID, in actual fact, because ICMDA's strategy was all built on running regional conferences and funding field workers to travel. Mm-hmm. And of course, with COVID, we could do neither of those things. So we had to think outside the box. We've got 69 field workers from 50 countries. Mm. So huge variety of languages and cultures.
Right.
And all of these folk are doctors or dentists working full-time or part-time in medicine or dentistry. And so they give their spare time to work with ICMDA to disciple leaders, to encourage them to share the vision. So in terms of equipping people, we do it in three main ways. We have a weekly webinar, which goes out on a Thursday, 2 p.m. British time.
Okay.
We've run 175 of those now.
175.
Each of those is recorded, is watched by people from probably 40 or 50 countries. Mm-hmm. We translate it into up to six languages live as well.
Wow.
And so that's been a great resource. Then we run training tracks. So these are 10-week training tracks in small groups, 12 to 15 people. Each week you watch a video, read an article, answer a couple of reflective questions on an internet platform, and then you meet with your group for an hour and a half. So it's a kind of flip classroom. You do the work beforehand.
Okay.
And we run those across eight different themes at the moment, including things like evangelism and apologetics, bioethics, health, healing, and mission, leadership, global health, and so on. And it's very much on the 2 Timothy 2:2 model of, of, you know, what you receive, you pass on. And so you start as a trainee, then you become a facilitator, then you become a coach after you've facilitated several sessions. And then the third area we work in is diplomas. We have a 2-year diploma in family practice. Most countries around the world don't have any postgraduate training in family practice.
Okay.
So you either qualify as a specialist, very competitive, or you go out and practice bad medicine because you've only had undergraduate training.
Oh, okay.
And so we do a 2-year distance learning blended approach where you can do it alongside a full-time job, and across 15 modules, 100 topics over the 2 years, you train as a family doctor. And we've had 140 people now go through that course from 40 different countries. So our focus is very much on training and development of leaders through those three things: webinars, training tracks, and the diploma programs.
Those who are listening would have access to the webinars and the training tracks, I assume? They can...
Yeah, the webinars are all on the website, public domain,
absolutely
free. So the videos are on YouTube, and you can go to our website and access other resources as well. Training tracks you have to apply for.
Okay.
Again, they're free, but you sign up for those, get allocated to a group. And the diploma programs we do charge for because they're much more academic and long-term, and they're really focused on people from countries where there's no postgraduate training in family medicine. So that wouldn't be appropriate for Americans.
No,
you have such a good system here.
Right.
But I think that the webinars and the training tracks would really be of interest.
Well, you were telling me earlier some of the topics you're covering for the webinars, very applicable to, you know, to those in the U.S. as elsewhere. What are some of the topics, some of the ones that even have gone somewhat viral, some of the ones that have been more popular?
Most of what we do is at the interface of Christianity and medicine or dentistry. So what we say, is it both Christian and medical or dental?
Right.
And then, so a lot of subjects around medical ethics or missions, or practicing whole person medicine, sharing faith with patients, and so on. So we cover those kind of issues. When we started off, a lot of them centered around COVID, you know. Yeah. But we also do things of general Christian interest. And it's sometimes those that are the most popular. Our most popular video, which is also, they're all turned into podcasts as well. So you can download them and listen to them. They're usually an hour long, 30-minute presentation, 20 minutes Q&A, but also with a podcast option. The most popular one has been on evolution, a theory in crisis, Professor John Lennox. And we've had over 100,000 views on that in on a couple of platforms. We did a series two on Islam and how Christians can engage with Muslims and answer their questions. And we did a series of four They've had several thousand views each. On average, we're getting probably between 500 and 1,000 views per webinar, and many more people will watch it afterwards on YouTube or listen on podcasts than will come up live, because, of course, the timing doesn't suit everybody, and with busy physicians and dentists, it can be a challenge. So, but it's all out there. It's all free. It's all public domain.
All right. We'll put the links in the show notes and point people to it as well. And just to have such a great library of resources that's ever growing is such an incredible gift. So thank you for all doing
that. Yeah, it's been
a
blessing. And we would never have thought of it or planned it.
Yeah.
And the Lord drew it to our attention and because we couldn't do other things. And he closed doors, but actually he opened doors to things we would never have thought of. And actually, now that COVID's over, we thought, why didn't we think of this before? So we're carrying on with this.
But everybody's now so well-trained on how to get online. So I think it's been a win all across the board. Let's talk about something that's been going on now for the last 18 months that is a tremendous challenge for those living in Ukraine and for CMDA's national ministry in Ukraine. The war started around 18 months ago. How did ICMDA step into the gap? What was your role? How did, and maybe you might want to walk us through kind of those first couple of days or weeks as you were looking and seeing a unique need that ICMDA could step into.
Well, I remember it so well. It was the 24th of February. It was a Thursday. It was last year. And I know that morning when we woke up to the news of the war breaking out. And actually that night we had a training track for Russian speakers in leadership.
Yes.
And so only half of them turned up out of the dozen. One guy joined from a bunker in Kharkiv in eastern Ukraine on his mobile phone. The other Ukrainians weren't there. And we planned then, we thought, well, why don't we have a prayer meeting tonight? And so we called together everyone in Europe to pray. We got about 50 or 60 doctors turned up on the Thursday night. We prayed. We thought we should have another meeting on the Saturday. And we brought along to that meeting the president of the CMAU, the Christian Medical Association of Ukraine, who is a young junior doctor in his late 20s, married with one kid, and suddenly he's thrust into this situation and he knew he had to do something, Rudy. So he got his team together. And on the next day, Friday, we launched an appeal. We had no idea what we were going to do with whether we'd raise any money or whatever. And then Rudy spoke and it just gripped people's hearts. We went to our board. We said, look, we think this fulfills the criteria for a project we can do because we've got an in-country partner we can work with. And so the next few weeks, we set up supply lines. So we set up a supply line through a Christian charity in Poland, whereby we could send stuff through them and they would ship it into Lviv and Western Ukraine. And then Rudy and his team would send it to 300 or 400 final destinations, as it turned out. So hospitals, clinics, churches, frontline units and so on. And then what happened then? Initially, we got a bit of money in. We bought stuff from mission suppliers, equipment, consumables, drugs from mission suppliers. And then what happened is that we've suddenly found we were gathering partners to help us who could greatly enhance the work. And we got partners in terms of hospitals, NHS hospitals, private hospitals who were giving us stuff, medical suppliers. So these are secular medical suppliers, and also links with logistics companies. And that was the key. And I think it was 10 days into the thing, a chap in our church who was out of work but had real administrative experience. He was married to someone, or his wife's father was the head of a big logistics company. And they came round to my home and we talked about it. He gave me a quick tutorial on how logistics works. He said, I don't know how big this is going to be or how small, but whatever, we're here to help you. We'll provide you with warehouses, with trucks. And as he walked out the door, he said, and here's a check for £10,000 to start you off and so on. And so that was how it happened. And God just opened up doors. Now, 18 months later, we have sent over 130 lorry loads.
What's a lorry load?
A lorry carries 52 pallets.
Wow.
Of, you know, so this is a double two or three times your usual truck in there, worth literally millions of pounds. I love Isaiah 55 and the verse which says, come buy and eat, you who have no money, you know, the thing. And it's just a beautiful picture of God's grace. And we raised about $800,000 to do it. But actually, that was just a tiny percentage of what we were able to provide because people came in, gave us trucks, warehouse use, supply lines, equipment, consumables, drugs, and so on. So most of the stuff we got was donated. And it was simply our job to, you know, send a lorry to this destination, pick it up, send it to these people. And then it was the supply line that God put in place by his grace. And so, you know, just some examples. Yeah. A hospital in London said, we've got 54 anesthetic machines. They don't have vaporizers or hoses. We said, oh, we can pay £20,000 to sort those. So we got the Ukraine-colored hoses in blue and yellow. We bought new vaporizers for them. We sent them off. They're in use all over Ukraine.
Wow.
The Nightingale hospitals were set up by the British government to look after COVID patients. There were seven of them. Most of them were not used because we got through. And so we discovered there were 120,000 pallets of equipment, beds and mattresses and stuff in the north of England. And they were a little bit of an embarrassment to the government. The opposition were asking questions about the spend and so on. So we said, we can help you. And so we managed to move about 35 lorry loads of beds, you know, hundreds of beds and mattresses out within a 2-week period. Cost us nothing. And until someone was saying, you know, who are these people taking all this stuff? And that door closed. But these are just some examples. Just last week, we had a hospital in Leeds in the north of UK rang up and said, we've got seven operating tables, seven incubators, and 30 patient monitors, fill a whole lorry. Can you take them? We said, we'll have a truck around there tomorrow morning. You know. So the Lord has helped us really through partners, many of whom have been non-Christian. You know, just like King Cyrus helped the Israelites get back to Jerusalem, who've just stepped in and have said, we want to be part of what is happening. You know, so it's been an amazing thing. But we could not have done it without the partners. And absolutely key has been Rudy Mikovich and his team in Ukraine. And I think that's the picture of ICMDA. Other national groups around Europe also, the Swedes in particular, have done a huge amount of work. So the relationships we have and the trust and the friendships, this common bond in Christ, wanting to make a difference, that you can do far more together than you can do alone. There are great limits to what any one of us can do, but there are no limits to what we can do with others and through others. And so we're just thinking, you know, what does this mean for the future in terms of our ministry? But God is able to do immeasurably more than ever we ask or think or imagine. And it's been a great blessing to be involved. I don't want to give the impression that it's been easy because there have been so many moments when we just have no idea what we're going to do next, and yet God has then opened up doors and led us.
I know you're holding back. There's even so many more stories. There's so much to share. God is at work, and to your point is strong national partners too. Rudy and his team are doing a fantastic job. And you know, it's moments too like this. Nobody, I think, anticipated this would be going on for 18 months, and we still don't know how much longer. But you all have persevered and continued to, you know, it's easy sometimes to do that quick, you know, we're going to help in the breach, you know, for that short amount of time. But this has been, you're persevering alongside our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine, and you're helping in the long term with no apparent end in sight. You're still continuing to press in, and I think that is a tremendous testimony to, one, God is continuing to provide even after all these many months. So.
And it's off the newscast now. You know, we're hearing about Gaza, and there are other issues, quite rightly. So, but the need is ongoing. Yeah. So in 90% of Ukraine, life is back to some extent to normal.
Okay.
You know, the schools are open, the businesses are operating, hospitals are working and so on. There's a tenth occupied, but the war is active. So there are people getting injured, civilians, soldiers, they're coming back. Needing care. And so the ongoing need is still absolutely huge. And as you say, no end in sight at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to switch gears on something that just happened. It was last year and is about to happen a couple more years ahead of us. You know, you talked earlier about just the power of using the technology, Zoom and other ways to gather people together, but nothing replaces us being together in person. God hardwired us to be in community, to be together. And you create an environment. It's the World Congress that happens every 4 years.
Yeah.
And is going to be coming up here in a couple more years. Tell us a little bit about what the World Congress is and why that's important for ICMDA.
Well, every 4 years, but with COVID, the last one was we had to knock it back a year. So it happened this June just gone in Tanzania, in East Africa, in Arusha, which is the tourist mecca of Tanzania, very near all the game parks and so on, but close to mission hospitals as well. So that was our venue. We had about 1,000 Christian doctors and dentists from 106 countries who came. And 400 of those came on scholarships, on bursaries. And that was made possible only because people in the West, and particularly in the U.S., gave so generously to pay for registration and airfares. And so that's why we were able to get key leaders from all of these countries. And we had a fantastic time. We had a we had 10 parallel conferences running beforehand, one for students and a whole lot of other topics as well, from bioethics to leadership to missions and so on. Then we had the main conference, and then people could go on trips as well to mission hospitals or game parks, see a bit of the scenery as well. So that was our 17th World Congress. And the 18th World Congress is going to be in South Korea in 2026. So it's only 3 years away. We're going back to the same four-year program. And the venue is a place called Jeju Island, which is a huge inactive volcano. Very important that.
You're stressing inactive.
off the southwest coast of South Korea. And we've chosen that location because of the links and the fact that it's got visa-free access to about 180 countries around the world. And we'll be particularly targeting East Asia and Southeast Asia with that. We're hoping to get over 1,000 people there. And we would love to have Americans coming. Now, it's a lot closer and a lot easier to get to than Tanzania. So I'd say put the date in your diaries now for July 2026. And don't just be prepared to come, but plan to come. And to save up in the meantime, make it an objective. And there's no better place to see what God is doing amongst Christian doctors and dentists around the world. But far more importantly than that, to form relationships, make friendships. And that's what ICMDA is really all about, you know, getting engaged with people all over the world. So do come, please. And and do give also to support others who could not otherwise come to come.
Well, Peter, it's going to be in my schedule. I can tell you that. I'm going to be there. But I also I want to focus on students because you said there is a student component to the World Congress. You have several hundred students, I think, no?
Yes, there were between 300 and 400 students who came to the event. So they came to their special students pre-conference for 2 days. And then they stayed on for the main conference for another 3.5 days. So altogether a week of their time. And then many of them went on trips afterwards to see mission hospitals and so on. And they came in groups and or built other travel. Some were doing electives already in Africa, so they scheduled them in, So you're talking about a week.
Well, you know, I think if students have the availability and they can plan in advance, they can be there. And I think we as a ministry are going to be very committed to figuring out ways to help underwrite and scholarship and make that possible so that there'd be no obstacle that can't be addressed that will keep them from being able to go if they want to go. So that's a commitment I know we're going to be making as a ministry. We'd love to see more students and, of course, our professionals as well go. But I'd like to see students begin to capture that vision for how this ministry and the work of Christians in healthcare is bigger than just in their backyard, but it's bigger than that. And I think the World Congress is a tremendous opportunity. So I'm going to be going, and in tow, I'll be trying to take as many students that will come with me.
Brilliant.
So, well, that's great. While we're on this topic of students, as we kind of close our conversation, mm-hmm. what would you want to say to our American medical dental students? Any kind of message you would want to exhort them with as, you know, from where you sit as CEO of ICMDA, any message you just have for our students as they're listening now?
We talk in ICMDA about our six values, and I think they're things that would resonate with most Christian doctors and dentists. So unity and diversity, mm-hmm. that God is building his church across all nations, mm-hmm. and that it takes all personalities and giftings and talents and language groups and ethnicities to make it up. So mm-hmm. unity and diversity. Service and equipping. Mm-hmm. So that we're seeking to serve particularly the marginalized, the poorest of the poor, and to equip Christian doctors, dentists, and students to be able to live and speak for Jesus in this world. And then we're biblical and missional. Our foundation is the Word of God. We're gospel-centered. Mm. We want to see people brought into God's kingdom and discipled. Amen. But we're also missional. Mm. So we're really motivated by that beautiful picture we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, where there are people from every tribe and tongue and nation, more than anyone can count, gathered around the throne and worshiping the Lamb. And so I think what I want to say is it's not about us. It's about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's about fulfilling his mission to gather people from every nation under the sun into his kingdom. And doctors and dentists have a key role to play there because medicine and dentistry are passports to closed communities and closed countries. And doctors and dentists can get into places where others cannot get. And so we're an important part of God's mission force. So I'd say, remember, when Jesus sent his disciples off, it was Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And whether that's, you know, your city, your state, your country, but also and the Americas and to the ends of the earth. So be really open to God's leading. And I'd say three things to think about. Firstly, please pray for the work of ICMDA, for students and doctors in other countries, for new groups which are just starting off. You can sign up on PrayerMate or through our website just to a daily prayer request. No more than two or three sentences, we promise you. No. But just please pray for us. You can get our daily devotion through the website. It's free. Okay. Secondly, think about training, how you could make use of the facilities that we have, but also to give what you have to others. Mm. And getting involved in a training program will enable you to help disciple, encourage people from other parts of the world and form friendships with them. Mm. And then the third thing is, conferences. Mm-hmm. And particularly the World Congress. Yes. Put that July 26th in your diary. But also think about regional events that are happening as well, and language events. If you speak another language, like French or Spanish or Russian or whatever, there are regional events every year, and they're a great way to form friendships, see what God is doing, get good teaching, really broaden your horizons too. And especially if you are going to a developing country, particularly, or any country in the world, remember that there will almost certainly be Christian doctors and dentists there. Mm. There'll probably be a national group affiliated to us. Mm-hmm. We can put you in touch with people on the ground, and that will really enrich your experience of being there, forming friendships with nationals. But also, you will be able to bring encouragement to them as well, and help to open their eyes up to the fact that we are a global body involved in this great international adventure of Christ building his kingdom. So, act locally by all means, but as we should, but be obedient where we are, but open your eyes to what God is doing and ask him, how could you use me? You know, what can I do? How can I, what doors can you open for me? Here am I, I'm ready. please send me really.
Yes.
Yeah, so just to encourage people in those things.
Thank you, Peter. That's a great way to kind of put a exclamation point right on our conversation, to really good emphasis and an important reminder for us all. And thank you for being a part of our conversation, the podcast, introducing yourself to the students, especially ICMDA. and for the great work you're doing. And I really appreciate the way that God is at work through you and your staff and many of your leaders spread all throughout the world and the ways that you're having an impact for the gospel and for the Great Commission. So thank you, Peter.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless. Before we conclude our podcast, I'd like to share a couple of things that you need to know. First of all, mark your calendar. May 2nd to the 5th, 2024, is CMDA's National Convention in the beautiful mountains of Asheville, North Carolina. Simply go to cmdstudentlife.org/natcon to learn more about how to register and information on student scholarships, because we want to make sure that there's nothing that's going to hinder you from joining us this coming National Convention, May 2nd to the 5th, in beautiful Asheville, North Carolina. Also, don't forget, if you want to find the Pulse podcast via our video version, you can go to our YouTube channel, and that is found CMDA Student Life at YouTube, and we have all of these audio podcasts in a video version right there for you. And to keep up with the latest information and resources, you just need to have the Student Life app. If you haven't done so, download it. You can get it on your smartphone. The app is for both the Android and the Apple, and that will keep you up to date with not only the most important information, but resources that'll be right in your pocket. Devotions every Monday and Thursday come out on the app, as well as group Bible studies, and the Student Pulse podcast is found on the app as well. So check that out if you haven't done so already. Download the app, set up a profile, and you'll stay connected with CMDA. And as always, you can follow and like us on all of our socials. We're on the Instagram, the Facebook, and X, formerly known as Twitter, finding us at our handle, CMDA Student Life. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of CMDA's Student Pulse podcast, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Bye now.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA's Student Pulse podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is non-partisan and does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on Student Pulse podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.